Live from the CBS Bay Area studios, this is KPIX 5 News.
Now on KPIX 5, breaking news, floodwaters rising in Florida as Hurricane Ian brings a dangerous storm surge and powerful winds on shore. Good afternoon. I'm Ryan Yamamoto. Let's get a look at those conditions right now. Ian is one of the strongest hurricanes to hit Florida ever, and its impacts are wide. This is a live look near Tampa. This is more than 100 miles away from the eye of the storm, closer to Fort Myers. Hurricane Ian's winds now near Category 5 strength, sitting at 155 miles per hour. And you can see in some of these images of the monster storm here bringing flooding along with it. Jason Allen has the latest report from Tampa.
Downed power lines from Hurricane Ian caused a fire and flooded streets in Naples, Florida, as the powerful storm pummeled the state with strong winds and heavy rains.
It is going to have major, major impacts in terms of wind, in terms of rain, in terms of flooding. So this is going to be a nasty, nasty day, 2 days.
Be prepared. Storm warnings are real. The evacuation notices are real. The danger is real.
The storm damaged neighborhoods, including in Pembroke Pines, north of Miami. In Davie, Florida, residents woke up to downed trees and other debris. More than 2.5 million people were under mandatory evacuation orders, but by law, no one could be forced to leave.
I urge Floridians who have made the decision to shelter in place, to stay indoors, and stay off the roads.
The National Hurricane Center warned of storm surges, raising the level more than 12 feet for some coastal areas. Officials in Charlotte County braced for a direct hit.
We are beginning to see sustained tropical storm force winds, which means emergency crews from all of our emergency response agencies have been pulled from the road and are no longer able to respond.
There are already reports of power outages, and officials with Florida Power and Light warned people in Ian's path. Electricity could be out for days. The state and FEMA say they are ready to help as soon as the storm moves out.
We have moved in a variety of generators of all sizes and types.
And the U.S. Coast Guard urged people to be cautious as it answered several calls for help this morning from people in Key West caught in the storm. Jason Allen, CBS News, Tampa.
And Florida Governor Ron DeSantis says the state has 30,000 linemen and 7,000 National Guard troops on standby to help with the recovery once that storm moves through. So we want to bring in First Alert meteorologist Jessica Birch on this storm. So, Jessica, this is a catastrophic storm already with a dangerous storm surge, but now the winds are an even bigger issue.
Yeah, I mean, when we're talking about the winds, that's how we break down categories in hurricanes. 157-mile-per-hour winds would mean it's a Category 5 hurricane. Current conditions right now, we're sitting at 155. So you see how we're flirting with those upper numbers. Nonetheless, as we take a look at that eye, this is about a 35-mile-per-hour just gap right there with that eye. So it's a very strong system. It's just making landfall right now. We're keeping a very close eye on that here in the Weather Center.
And the storm really ratcheted up its intensity very quickly. So how does that happen?
You know, a lot of factors when it comes to this, but rapid intensification, that's the study of these stronger storms when they become a major storm, a Category 4 or 5. And a lot of things played into this. The sea surface temperatures were well above average, allowing for it to really fuel this strong system once it popped off Cuba. To add to that, we're also not seeing a lot of wind shear. Wind shear would destroy this system right now, but we're not seeing that play a factor. So it's just ramping up as it pushes its way into Florida.
So you kind of touched on it. So the question we all want to answer is to our friends in Florida, what's going to get this system to finally weaken?
Exactly. So I would say three big things. Making landfall, of course, that just inevitably weakens that system. But to add to that, wind shear has a big factor into it, and we're not seeing that right now with this storm. One last thing, like I mentioned earlier, also cooler sea surface temperatures. But we're just coming off those summer months. Sea surface temperatures are warm. That past hurricane pushed a little bit away from this direction, so it didn't impact the sea just in the Gulf of Mexico. So we're seeing this continue to rapidly intensify as it pushes its way all into Florida.
All right. Thank you, Jessica, very much for that insight. And just to give you a picture of what Florida is dealing with, as you look at the images of Ian right here, the 155 mile per hour winds do hold. This will be the fifth strongest storm on record to hit the U.S. Only 14 Category 4 or 5 hurricanes have hit Florida since 1851. This is the second strongest storm in Florida history. Hurricane Andrew, as we all remember, caused 23 deaths back in 1992. We have a link to follow the very latest on Hurricane Ian. Just go to KPIX.com, scroll to the First Alert weather section. You can also watch coverage live from CBS Miami. And if you live in San Jose or Livermore Valley, well, you may have felt an earthquake just a short time ago. The magnitude 3.4 quake hit just after 10 a.m. The epicenter was up in the Ohlone Regional Wilderness, about 15 miles northeast of San Jose, and about 15 miles southeast of Livermore. So far, 50 people have reported feeling it to the USGS. Locally, no one or no reports of any injuries or damage. Governor Gavin Newsom just signed a bill package today expediting the construction of new housing in California. AB 2011 and SB 6 will allow for more affordable housing to be built in underused commercial areas. In addition, the new bills will create thousands of high-paying jobs. And through a state program called the California Housing Accelerator, $1 billion will provide funding to 30 housing development projects that will build around 2,700 new homes.
But this is a big package. These bills matter. They go across the spectrum, not just what we've talked about, but it goes to issues of ADUs, goes to the issue of farm worker housing, goes to the issue, Ben, thank you, of transparency and accountability.
Those bills are part of a housing package of more than 40 other housing-related proposals that the governor has approved. San Francisco is building housing for teachers. Crews breaking ground on the first affordable housing project for teachers. That will sit along 43rd Avenue in the Outer Sunset. The complex will provide 135 new homes for district employees, educators, and their families earning between $35,000 and $150,000 will be eligible, and construction is expected to be finished by 2024. And one of the biggest problems teachers cited in wanting to leave the profession was finding affordable housing. Many educators are calling it quits for plenty of other reasons. And Kenny Choi found a teacher in South San Francisco who reached a turning point but can't seem to leave her students behind.
Everyone thinks I'm crazy. And guess what? They're right.
There's nothing but crazy love when Jackie Del Bianco walks into a classroom. Even when she's no nonsense.
You have to be responsible.
It doesn't take very long to realize just how popular Miss D is. Everywhere the longtime third grade teacher goes, she gets a hero's welcome with high fives, hugs, and shout outs from former students. Their smiling faces say it all.
She is always happy. She's always positive.
She's just the joy of school. Like everybody, Miss D, Miss D. Oh my God, Miss D is here.
Then it's off to the school garden Jackie and students dug up a decade ago to teach sustainability and earth science. They just received some donations to keep it growing and green. But for all this work and countless hours of commitment, Jackie doesn't get paid a single penny. She returns to work almost every day now as a volunteer after feeling burnout. She retired earlier than she really wanted a few months ago.
I did not leave because of the children. I left because of bureaucratic reasons, not enough support for the teachers and for what we do.
Teachers like Jackie are leaving because of their workload, more responsibilities, student behavioral issues exacerbated by the pandemic, and increasing student-to-teacher ratios, in part because of staffing issues that make the job more difficult.
It's stressful being a teacher and having a class that's overpopulated.
Well, sadly enough, it was time for me to go and time for me to get out. And that's why I go back and be with my kids.
Extensive surveys show some 80% of districts statewide report staffing difficulties. First-year principal Angelica Garduno says all full-time teacher positions at Spruce Elementary have been filled to start the academic year, but acknowledges staffing issues within the district persist.
It's remained about the same. Yes, post-COVID, it's been difficult, but we have a wonderful school district where we work together to help each other out, and we move forward.
The ongoing and daunting challenge in the years to come is for school officials, parents, and state leaders to somehow convince teachers like Jackie to return or retain them longer.
This is my home, my second home.
In South San Francisco, Kenny Choi, KPIX 5.